This is OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Pastor Cooley here today, and it is a Friday in Minnesota, Brother Jim, and it is snowing.
It's a Friday in Texas, and it is a cold 70 degrees here.
Stop it.
But it is going to get below freezing Saturday night. So
really?
Feel any better. Yep.
Well, you'll feel like you're in Minnesota then.
Yes, I will.
You get a taste of Minnesota.
That Minnesota nice, yes.
Yeah, and that's only a taste of like a spring in Minnesota.
Exactly.
Or like a fall in Minnesota. You're not even getting a bit of winter in Minnesota.
Just the taste that I need. Just a tiny taste.
Enough, right?
Yeah.
Enough. But hey, we rejoice and none of the snow is sticking. It's just annoying.
Amen.
But it is what it is. We've had a beautiful fall. We've been spoiled rotten. It's been 70 degrees. I've gotten to ride my bike. I've been riding about, on average, before this last week, we're riding about 70 to 80 miles a week.
That's great.
Amen. On my bike and having a good time, getting some good exercise out there. Now I'm inside on the elliptical, which I don't like as much because I don't like being inside, but it is what it is. And thank the Lord I could do that type of working out.
And
we'll do something outside. I'll do some kind of – I'll put my cleats on when the snow gets on, and I'll go out there and walk around. And I usually like to walk, 4 or 5 miles if it's warm enough at a time, and that's good exercise and keeps you fit and everything. I don't like riding bikes in the winter because it gets really cold,
that
wind. And I don't like bundling up in a big old Carhartt, a double parka, going out there trying to – bike around. But it'll be fun. The kids will enjoy the snow. We'll go sledding. I bought one of those toboggans, so I'm looking forward to using that and sliding down that hit those the hills of Minnesota here when the snow comes.
Like a real toboggan with the metal runners or the wood curled up front toboggan? I don't know what you Northerners call a toboggan.
I don't know. This one's the glider, I should say. It has the steering.
Oh, yeah. With the steering, and it's got the metal runners on it.
The metal runners, yeah.
Rosebud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to do that and look forward to that. But you know what? We've got a topic we're going to talk about here today. Might be unusual, you might think, but really it's not. It's a very biblical topic. In fact, it is a topic that is covered in the law of God. It's not only covered in the law of God, Brother Jim, it is actually covered in the Gospels. It is actually covered in the church epistles. And it is covered all over the scriptures. And it's called honoring thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. So, the Bible commands us to honor. And that word honor means more than just respect or more than just acknowledging that they're our parents. And we're going to kind of get into that a little bit today here and explain what that means. But we're going to read you an article because we're really going to talk to you about state-sponsored human trafficking of the elderly. That's a great title. State-sponsored human trafficking of the elderly. And that's what we're going to call this, I think. And that's exactly what it is. So we're going to read you an article that Sermon Audio had posted, and it just really burdened my heart. Now, I have a little bit of experience with, the idea of guardians and things like that. And the reason why is because I have a family member that had to go through some of those things. And I understand that somebody had, because they had dementia and everything like that, but the family was involved with that. It wasn't just... in this case, the state has come in, used somebody, and usurped the rights of the family completely and stolen we'll just get into it. We're going to start reading this.
You mean like state-sponsored terrorism?
Yes. I mean exactly like that. I mean, honestly, if I was a foreign country and I wanted to be like the United States and the journalistic system that we have over here where they write something and they make it look like, or the CIA writes something or something like that, and they make it look like, Gaddafi is this and he's that and these other men are this or that. I could write the same thing about the United States. For instance, I could say about abortion, I could say...
Except it would be true.
except it would be true. I could say the United States should be invaded because of murdering their babies and infanticide is going on, and they're force inoculating their people with poison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like Nazis in Germany did. Wait a minute, but that's all true because forced vaccinations and all these other things are going on.
Yeah.
They're drugging their people, and they are.
Yep, fluoride, GMOs, all of it.
Right.
Big pharma, big agriculture.
So, you know what? You could spin that, but this is just telling the truth. What we're about to read to you is absolutely, it is appalling. And it ought to make everybody, and listen, I guess I'm warning you for one of two reasons. Number one, because God commanded that we take care of the elderly and that we rise up before the hoary head and we respect and we honor them. The second reason why it's so important is because I want you to do the right thing and make sure that you're taking care of your mom and dad.
Amen.
Or your elderly family members, and you have a hold of their estate and know and protect their estate from the state coming in and stealing it. Okay.
It kind of goes hand in glove with our last show, our message to millennial men, you know, about providing. This is just a different measure of that, but it's the same principles. Yeah.
Because the Bible says that a man that does not take care of his own house, which, by the way, is in the context of the widow, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And taking care of the widow and the fatherless and everything else like that. In that context, he says he is worse than an infidel.
Right, and when talking about the widow, it talks about widows indeed, and it explains, hey, if they have existing family, that is their family's responsibility to care for them.
Right, let me read that. In 1 Timothy 5:8, and we're going to get to these verses again, but it says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number of under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. So he explains what a widow is. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn to first show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And Brother Jim, what that speaks to is exactly what we just talked about. Like you said, I'll reiterate what you just said about last week, right? It reiterates the fact that if you're not prepared financially and if you're not doing the right things as a man, how can you take care of your mother-in-law, your mother, your father-in-law, your father?
Yeah.
You know, if you're not prepared, if you're not doing the right things, if you're not being a man, it says you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of those things.
Yeah, and the other thing that passage is saying, that it's actually inferring, is that is commonplace for the family to provide for that widow.
Amen.
And that's a known common thing that should occur.
Right. It says the church shouldn't be chargeable for that.
Yeah.
But the family should take care of that. The nephews should even take care of that, it says.
That's right.
It says they should take care of that and not the church.
That's right.
You know? So that was that order. But it says to honor widows, but then it says, anyway, so it's very interesting. There's a lot there's a lot that goes into that. And, you know, but let's get into this article here and really explain to you what's going on, because this is appalling. And we'll stop to it. And Brother Jim, why don't you start? And I'll probably stop you through this because I'm going to get fired up, I'm sure, because it really starts to tick you off when you start reading. I'm sorry, if you don't get upset at this, then there's something wrong with your manhood or your decency as a human being.
Sure.
Your Christian and your heart for people, because this is appalling. I mean, this just made me angry completely how they did this. So you go ahead and start reading, Brother Jim.
For years, Rudy North woke up at 9 a.m. and read the Las Vegas Review-Journal while eating a piece of toast. Then he read a novel he liked, James Patterson and Clive Cussler. Or, if he was feeling more ambitious, Freud. On scraps of paper and legal notepads, he jotted down thoughts sparked by his reading. Deep below the rational part of our brain is an underground ocean where strange things swim. he wrote on one notepad. On another, life. The longer it cooks, the better it tastes. Rennie, his wife of 57 years, was slower to rise. She was recovering from lymphoma and suffered from neuropathy so severe that her legs felt like sausages. Each morning, she spent nearly an hour in the bathroom applying makeup and lotions, the same brand she'd used for 40 years. She always emerged wearing pale pink lipstick. Rudy, who is prone to grandiosity, liked to refer to her as my amour.
Now, you know, here's the thing, you know, before we continue on here, I'm thinking about this. Here's this guy. They've been married for 57 years.
Yeah.
Now, that deserves honor and respect.
Amen.
But what they received, as you're going to see, is the complete opposite. And these devils that did this, they need to go to jail. And if there is a such thing as public whipping for offenses, they should be publicly whipped for it under the law.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
that's the kind of punishment those people need for what they did to these poor old people.
Yeah. Yeah, and to restore fourfold what they
took. That's right. And the state should have to be forced to pay that back to them.
Yeah, amen.
They mandated that in court. Okay, brother, you go ahead and keep going.
On the Friday before Labor Day, 2013, the Norris had just finished their toast when a nurse who visited five times a week to help Rennie bathe and dress came to their house in Sun City, Alante, an active adult community in Las Vegas. They had moved there in 2005 when Rudy, a retired consultant for broadcasters, was 68 and Rennie was 66. They took pride in their view of the golf course, though neither of them played golf. Rudy chatted with the nurse in the kitchen for 20 minutes, joking about marriage and laundry until there was a knock at the door. A stocky woman with shiny black hair introduced herself as April Parks, the owner of the company, a private professional guardian. She was accompanied by three colleagues who didn't give their names. Parks told the Norris that she had an order from Clark County Family Court to remove them from their home. She would be taking them to an assisted living facility. Go and gather your things, she said.
Okay, now stop there for a second, because right about now, there's like a rocket that I want to just light and just fly through this room right now. Okay,
yeah.
So here you have the SS knock on your door. Okay, you ready for this? The SS knock on your door, right? And here they come. The Nazis come to your door, and they say, your papers, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at you and they say, okay, you're going to the concentration camp right now, Grandpa. Get
That's
your
right.
dentures on, Grandpa. Put your diaper on, Grandpa. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just telling you. Here's an old man that's been married for 57 years. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, put your clothes on, Grandma. Put your makeup on, Grandma. If you get a chance to, take your clothes and get out. You're going to the concentration camp, and we're stealing everything you own.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did to these people.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. It ought to be this should not be just some article on Sermon Audio. This ought to be before Congress. This ought to be before the president. This ought to be before a lot of people.
No, listen.
Wicked as hell.
No, look, there's NFL players that don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, we got to do something about that. Like, don't worry about this stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about the Pledge of Allegiance and all this other nonsense. But here, meanwhile, you got these poor people that here comes this lady that says, and she's not even a cop. Man, I'm telling you, you don't know what this makes me want to do. Like, if I was there and I answered the door, I'd be like, you know, get out.
Mm. Yeah,
get out.
Real. Yeah, come
and
back
with the
cops. I would
take my grandparents, I would take my parents, and I would hop on down the road and get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that right.
You bunch of wicked devils. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little excited. Like it bothers me because
it's terrible.
Like, it's these people paid taxes their whole life. They paid for everything.
Yeah.
And now in the twilight of their life, you're the closing days of their life. You're gonna rob them and steal from them. You are like the scum off of the bottom of a shoe.
Right. Yeah. Instead of giving them a position in society that they deserve just for their longevity's sake, you know, like in Asian cultures, you know, they really consider, they revere the elderly just for their knowledge of accumulation of time.
Yeah, they rise up above the hoary head and show them respect.
Yeah, but here in America, you know, the old people, are they going to suck up too much of the health care?
They're just bottom feeders.
Yeah, they're useless eaters.
So you gotta make that, like Bill Gates said.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I had some guy tell me, oh, you have an Apple computer. Well, guess what Bill Gates said, Mr. You got an Apple computer guy. Who cares what kind of computer you have? They're all devils anyway.
Actually, brother, I have my laptop is built by the Amish, and they hand solder all the circuit boards. I only buy software and hardware from the Amish.
Yeah, my goodness, people. I forgot what I was even doing.
You were getting ready to talk about how Bill Gates wants to kill everybody.
Yeah. Bill Gates says, well, you know, you got the old lady that's dying of cancer or the teacher you got to pay for. So which one do you do here?
Yeah.
If you give the money to the teacher, then, you know, you get talking about death camps, and we can't talk about that.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing.
Right in front of our face.
Yeah, they said they were going to do it, and they're doing it. And we're concerned about overpaid Greek demagogue football players that are just human scumbags, not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, which, you know, who even said? Yeah, it's just a setup.
It is a setup. It's a distraction.
Yeah.
Okay, you go ahead, brother. We'll keep reading.
Okay. Rennie began crying. This is my home, she said. One of Park's colleagues said that if the Norse didn't comply, he would call the police. Rudy remembers thinking, you're going to put my wife and me in jail for this? But he felt too confused to argue. Parks drove a Pontiac G6 convertible with a license plate that read CRTGRDN for court guardian. Wow, she's just so proud.
Yeah, so here's this old man that's like, you're going to throw me in jail because I don't want you stealing me from my house?
Mm. Yeah.
That's what you're going to do? Listen, let me tell you something. If you have parents that are like this, and you listen, if you have older parents out there, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm just giving you practical advice. You have a responsibility before God to take care of your parents. Okay? So if somebody is going to do that, your parents need to be able to call you on the phone within a second and have you on the phone, and you need to be close enough to them to where you can take care of them or go to them, or at least a family member is close to them that can go to them, or they have an attorney or somebody that can go to them right away and stop this insanity right away before people take them.
Well, you know, they weaponize the healthcare industry, you know, all the way back. Think about, when you go to the doctors, does anybody in your house own a gun? You know, all these creepy questionnaires with all these goofy answers. And people, instead of refusing to answer, you know, so they weaponize the healthcare industry, and that all this is the tip of that sword. You know, this happened 10 years ago where they weaponized it, and then, okay, well, if you want healthcare and you want a home health aid and all these different things, you're going to let these people in your house, and the next thing you know, they're going to come up and scoop you up and send you to the gulags.
Yep, that's right. That's what they did here.
Yeah. That's what they did.
And here's this lady that says she's an appointed court guardian. If you don't comply, we're going to call the police. Call them.
That's right.
You filthy animals, call them.
Yeah. In the past 12 years, she had been a guardian for some 400 wards of the court. Owing to age or disability, they had been deemed incompetent, a legal term that describes those who are unable to make reasonable choices about their lives or their property.
Let me stop here and say this. These people make a lot of money doing this. These attorneys that bill people for this make a lot of money doing it. Believe me, I know from experience, from watching and from seeing family members, that these attorneys make a ton of money.
Yeah, and this is a private company, by the way, that she works for.
Yeah. That is not a law enforcement.
Right, and it's a clandestine, private, crony capital company that's probably the nephew or the uncle or somebody of some corrupt judge or lawyer or whatever. So
right,
they're all the
exactly.
same. All the same thing.
Exactly. To devils.
As their guardian, Parks had the authority to manage their assets. That's a fancy word for steal.
Yes,
and
is.
To choose where they lived, whom they associated with, and what medical treatment they received. They lost nearly all of their civil rights. I'm kind of curious of which civil rights they actually retained.
Right. You took them to a concentration camp. You stuck them in there, right? Without their family's consent, without their daughter's consent, you stole them. You kidnapped them. You should be brought on charges of kidnapping. This is state-sponsored human trafficking.
We need to be really careful with the Nazi reference to Hitler and the Jews because we don't want anybody to think that we are peddling the idea that, you know, the Nazis were real and that Jews were slaughtered and that there was concentration camps. Cause really, you know, that's all the Zionists that propagate and promote that lie. So while we do make these Nazi references, I want it. Okay. Sarcasm alert, just because you have to, you know, people can't always
read our sarcasm.
Read the sarcasm.
Of course we believe that there were concentration camps, and of course we believe that Jews were murdered.
But just stay off Facebook and online, because if you stay on there too much, they'll have you thinking that Jews aren't real and that the Nazis wasn't real and Hitler wasn't real and World War II never happened because everybody was...
The Jews weren't really burned in ovens. They weren't really killed. They didn't really... Who thinks like that? And there's preachers out there that are preaching that nonsense.
I know.
What a joke.
It's crazy.
Anyway, but yeah, so when we talk about Nazis, yeah, we mean real Nazis. We believe these were modeled
really
after the SS.
That's right.
This is modeled after the SS. This is the same exact state-sponsored.
Modeled Nazis. After the Jesuits, yep.
Yeah, from the Jesuits, right. We know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
They got it from Ignatius Loyola's murder men.
Yep.
The Pope and his murder men. Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Where are we here? We're
at without realizing
okay.
it. Okay. Paragraph.
Yeah. Without realizing it, the Norse had become temporary wards of the court. You know, that's pretty bad when you don't even realize it. Now, I know I've had family members before that they have dementia.
Right.
But they awarded the custody to a family member, not to like a outside guardian that steals everything they have and takes their estate over. There are times when, you know what, as a family member, you know what, my parents will end up living with me, and chances are I will end up taking care of their estate way before they get to a point to where they can't.
Yeah, amen.
So they're not taken advantage of, and it's not stolen from them.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to do that because that's my responsibility.
Yeah, me and my brother have been kind of talking about this with my parents because, you know, my dad's been having some ongoing health issues, and, you know, my mom's getting older, and, you know, just talking about what...
Taking advantage of easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. So without realizing it, these people are temporary wards of the state, of the court. Parks had filed an emergency ex parte petition, which provides an exception to the rule that both parties must be notified of any argument before a judge. So here's these poor people. They don't even know.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the right thing to do. Do they have a daughter? If I'm concerned,
exactly.
Then I go and I say, here's the closest family member. We have some concerns about your mom and dad's health.
Yeah, I like it because, you know, are they cognizant enough to pay their taxes? Oh, they're great. They're plenty fine to pay all their taxes that they pay.
Right.
All that stuff. But when it comes to, like, keeping the stuff that they work for, well, then they're, Yeah, well, now they're incompetent. Yeah, good.
Right. Okay, she had alleged that the Norse posed a substantial risk for mismanagement of medications, financial loss, and physical harm. So, because of the physical loss, I think we'll financial loss, I think we'll steal all their money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense. You'll steal it all, bill it out, and take it like lawyers do and like other crooks do like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. She submitted a brief letter from a physician's assistant, whom Rennie had seen once, stating that the patient's husband can no longer effectively take care of the patient. Hmm. They can't take care of the patient anymore. Oh, really? How do you know that? Oh, you went off of right. You went off.
Yeah.
Dementia is progressing, they said. She also submitted a letter from one of Rudy's doctors who described him as confused and agitated. Mm. Well, if I take an old man and I throw a bunch of stuff at him really fast, I can confuse him and agitate him too.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean he deserves to be thrown in a stinking gulag, you bunch of wicked devils.
No.
I pull no punches with this. I'm not using this. These people are what you call
devils.
Devils, yeah, they are. Right.
Yep.
Their teeth are like jaw knives.
Yep. Jaw teeth like knives.
Yes.
Yep. That's that generation.
That is. They devour up widows' houses, it says.
Mm-hmm.
Look up that verse if you can. Find that while I'm reading this. Look up that. There is a generation that it's in the Proverbs, I think, or in Psalms. I can't remember which, but take a look and see if you can find it. Rudy and Rennie had not undergone any cognitive assessments. They had never received a diagnosis of dementia. In addition to Freud, Rudy was working his way through Nietzsche and Plato. Rennie had read romance novels. Parks told the Norse that if they didn't come willingly, an ambulance would take them to the facility, a place she described as a respite. Still crying, Rennie put cosmetics and some clothes into a suitcase. She packed so quickly that she forgot her cell phone and Rudy's hearing aid.
Oh, no.
What a bunch of jerks.
It's terrible.
What's that?
I got that verse here.
Yeah, go ahead and read it, please.
Proverbs 30:14 says, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men.
Mm-hmm.
So when this older couple needed help, these devil blood-sucking leeches, you know, the very next verse says, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. You know, these leeches come along and just instead of helping them, suck every last bit that they got left, just drain them dry and throw them to the curb.
Yep. When a neighbor asked what was happening, after 35 minutes, Park's assistant led the Norse to her car. When a neighbor asked what was, I mean, this reminds you of like felons that are taken because they're criminals. They've been charged with something. They're arrested and they're taken. These are just people that are picking on old people, grabbing them and throwing them in someplace.
Yeah.
It's no different than pulling up on the side of the road, grabbing people, kicking their door in, grabbing them at midnight, throwing them in your car and kidnapping them.
Yeah. Except they're doing it with a court order.
Except they're doing it with a court order in the daylight.
Yeah. Hmm. And they're getting paid a percentage.
Yeah, and a lot.
Yeah.
So when a neighbor asked what was happening, Rudy told him, we'll just be gone for a little bit. He was too proud to draw attention to their predicament.
Mm.
Just think of it as a mini vacation, he told Rennie. That's terrible. Mm. And that old man has no power to protect his wife because they take it all away from him. And you're grabbing him and his wife.
Mm. Terrible.
Oh, man. Rest assured, these people are on their way to hell, that's for sure.
That's why when you get up in the morning, the first thing you got to put on is your sidearm.
Yep, that's right. You're
gonna catch me off guard.
Yep.
Devils.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's called self-defense. That's what it's called. You know, that's illegal to go into somebody's house and just, like, force them out of their own home.
For real.
It's called illegal. I don't care what their little order says. It's still illegal to do that.
Yeah, come back with the cops.
Yeah, go ahead, come back.
Yeah.
After the Norse left, Parks walked through the house with Sidney Breck, the owner of Caring Transitions, a company that relocates seniors and sells their belongings at estate sales. Can you believe
that? Do you see this infrastructure? Do you see this infrastructure, this private crony capitalism infrastructure that is in place to do this?
Uh-huh.
It's not like, you know, this is all organized. Talk about organized crime. You want to know what happened to organized crime? Caring Transitions. And see how they paint it? Looks so pretty. Oh, we're just here. We're Caring Transitions. We're here to rob these people blind and do it in an orderly fashion. Terrible, man.
Yes, it is terrible. It's downright crooked. It's you know what? The mob has more decency than these people.
That is absolutely true.
Yep, the mob has more decency.
Yeah.
Here's what they said. Breck and Parks had a routine. We open drawers, Parks said in a deposition. We look in closets. We pull out boxes. Anything that would store, that would keep paperwork, would keep valuables. She took a pocket watch, birth certificates, insurance policies, and several collectible coins.
Yeah, just like when thieves, what do thieves do when they break into your house?
They take all the valuables.
Yeah.
Yep. They take all the valuables. The North's daughter, Julie Belshi, came to visit later that afternoon. A 53-year-old mother of three sons. She and her husband run a small business designing and constructing pools. You know, wait a minute. When I listen to this, a lady. This lady is more than capable of taking care of her parents' finances. She's more than capable, but you know what? She was caught off guard.
Yeah. She checks on her family every day.
Yeah.
And she was just late.
Yeah. And she didn't.
And the reason she was late is probably because this was organized. Mm-hmm. Hey, the daughter comes at 1 o'clock every day, so let's get in there at 10 and clean them out.
Yep. She lived 10 miles away and visited her parents nearly every day, often taking them to her youngest son's football games. She was her parents' only living child. Her brother and sister had died.
Mm.
She knocked on the front door several times and then tried to push the door open, but it was locked. She was surprised to see the kitchen window closed. Her parents always left it slightly open. Do you realize that this poor lady thinks that somebody kidnapped her parents? They're, like, gone?
Yeah. And somebody did.
Yeah, somebody did. They did kidnap her parents. They stole her parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is kidnapping.
Yeah. It's human trafficking.
It's strong-arm kidnapping. It's more than kidnapping. It's armed robbery, and it's strong-arming.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This is highly
illegal. Arm of the state. The arm of the state. You know, in America, the land of the free.
Yep.
Yeah.
She drove to the Sun City Atlantia clubhouse where her parents often drank coffee. When she couldn't find them there, she thought that perhaps they had gone on an errand together. The farthest they usually drove was to Costco, but when she returned to the house, it was still empty. That weekend, she called her parents several times. She also called two hospitals to see if they had been in an accident. She called their landlord, too, and he agreed to visit the house. He reported that there were no signs of them. She told her husband, I think someone kidnapped my parents. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, after Labor Day, she drove to the house again and found a note taped to the door. In case of emergency, contact guardian April Parks. Belshi dialed the number. Parks, who had a brisk, girlish way of speaking, told Belshi that her parents had been taken to Lakeview Terrace, an assisted living facility in Boulder City, 9 miles from the Arizona border. She assured Belshi that the staff would take care of all their needs. You can't just walk into somebody's home and take them, Belshi told her. Park responded calmly, it's legal. It's legal. Oh, you know, this is a precursor to, like, taking your children.
It's exactly what it is.
That's what these devils want to do. They want to court order and mandate the theft of your children, the theft of your parents, the theft that they prey on the weak.
Keep sending them to public school and make sure they get all their health visits, and they'll take your kids just like this.
Yes, they will.
Yeah.
Guardianship.
And they will come with the cops when they do that.
Yep, they will. Guardianship derives from the state's parens patriae power, its duty to act as a parent for those considered too vulnerable to care for themselves. The king shall have the custody of the lands of natural fools, taking the profits of them without waste or destruction, and shall find them their necessaries. Read the English statute De Prerogative Regis from 1324. The law was imported to the colonies. Guardianship is still controlled by state, not federal law, and has remained largely intact for the past 800 years. It establishes a relationship between a ward and guardian that is rooted in trust. Yeah, right. In the United States, 1.5 million adults are under the care of guardians, either family members or professionals, who control some $273 billion in assets. According to an auditor,
that's what it is.
What's that?
Follow the money.
Yep, that's what it's about. Yep. According to an auditor for guardianship fraud program in Palm Beach County, little is known about the outcome of these arrangements because states do not complete figures on guardianship cases. Statutes vary widely, and in most jurisdictions, the court records are sealed. I'm sure they are, so you keep
yeah.
from them.
Yeah.
A government accountability report from 2010 said we could not locate a single website, federal agency, state, or local entity, or any other organization that compiles comprehensive information on this issue. A study published this year by the American Bar Association found that an unknown number of adults languish under guardianship when they no longer need it or never did. The authors wrote that guardianship is generally permanent, leaving no way out until death do us part.
Mm. Sick. It's so insane. Hmm. These stinking scumbag lawyers.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
Hmm. They sleep at night somehow, I think.
Yeah, with a lot of drugs.
Yeah, and a coffin.
Yeah. Yeah, with a lot of drugs. Yeah. Go on, brother. I'll let you continue to read. This vexes me.
When the Norse were removed from their home, they joined nearly 9,000 adult wards in the Las Vegas Valley. In the past 20 years, the city has promoted itself as a retirement paradise. Attracted by the state's low taxes and a dry, sunny climate, elderly people leave their families behind to resettle in newly constructed senior communities. The whole town sparkled, pulling older people in with the perspective of the American dream at a reasonable price. A former real estate agent named Terry Williams told me, roughly 30% of the people who move to Las Vegas are senior citizens. The number of Nevadans older than 85 has risen by nearly 80% in the past decade. Wow.
Wow. So they're preying on these old people.
Yeah, it's literally like you create this artificial community to bring in all these batteries. You know, you're literally it's like a Matrix analogy where.
Well, you know what it makes me wonder? It makes me wonder if the mob is connected to this because the mob runs Vegas. So
yeah.
It makes me wonder if the government, which is a mob, and the civilian mob is connected to this, and who owns these companies that are working for the court system in
Las Vegas. All the mob did was go legal.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran for office.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's see here. In Nevada, as in many states, anyone can become a guardian by taking a course, as long as he or she has not been convicted of a felony or recently declared bankruptcy. Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Elizabeth Brickfield, a Las Vegas lawyer who has worked in guardianship law for 20 years, said that about 15 years ago, as the state's elderly population swelled, all these private guardians started arriving, and the docket exploded. The court became a factory. So that was 15 years ago. So this has been going on openly for 15 years.
Yeah.
Yep. Under Brother Bush. Under Brother Bush.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate.
Yeah. Wow. Which those conservatives, man, they love Las Vegas.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay.
Pamela Teaster, huh? The director of the Center for Gerontology at Virginia Tech and one of the few scholars in the country who studied guardianship told me that though most guardians assume their duties for good reasons, the guardianship system is a morass. What does that mean, Morris?
Like a moray. It's like a French word for, like, a total mess.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She said it is unconscionable that we don't have any data when you think about the vast power given to a guardian. It is in one of society's most drastic interventions. After talking to Parks, Belshi drove 40 miles to Lakeview Terrace, a complex of stucco buildings designed to look like a hacienda. She found her parents in a small room with a kitchenette and a window overlooking the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Rennie was in a wheelchair beside the bed, and Rudy was curled up on a love seat in the fetal position.
Mm.
There was no phone in the room. Mm. Medical alert buttons were strung around their necks. They were like two lost children, Belshi said.
Mm.
Oh, this makes me sick.
So terrible, man. Abuse.
You know, Brother Jim, look up those verses that we have. The Bible talks about honoring.
Yeah, okay.
Honoring. I think it's a good time to talk about this before we read on.
Okay.
Honoring our father and our mother.
Yeah, so first we got, I'll start in Leviticus.
Yes.
Okay, so let me go to Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord.
Mm.
So, wow. Honoring the elderly is fearing the Lord.
Yep.
If the Lord holds them in esteem.
Yep. God is a God of order, and he does not appreciate his order being thwarted. And what he, the statutes that he set up and the family structure destroyed. And these people destroy the family structure and they say, you know what, we will not honor our elders. We will not honor the hoary head. Look, it says here, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. That means honestly, a lot of what that means is too, is not just physically, but also, you know, recognizing them, respecting them, honoring them, taking care of them. But that rising up, you know what? When an old man or an older lady walks in the room, you know what that means? That means you should stand up and go shake their hand and respect
them. Yeah, amen.
That's what that means. You stand up when an older man than you walks in the room like that. Yeah, you stand up and shake their hand, sir. And you know, you greet them with respect. That's respect, okay? You don't make them come to you. You go to them.
Yeah, amen. You know, when you read something like this, you clearly see how the wrath of God, you know, you see why he's going to wink at them and why he's going to mock them and why he's going to laugh at them when he brings his judgment. These are the reasons why he's going to mock them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. That word honor means to treat with due civility and respect in the ordinary intercourse of life. It means to treat them with honor, to reverence them, you know, to revere them, to be in submission to them. You know, it means that, you know, you care for them.
Yeah, amen.
You care for them. You know, you hold them in high esteem, and you care for them. That's very important.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother. Keep going with that. The other verses on honor, because I know there's some more.
Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we see the command to honor thy father and thy mother. And that doesn't, there's no prerequisites to that. It's not like, well, if they're good people, if they're doing everything right, you know, it doesn't, there are no prerequisites to that commandment.
No. No, there are not. You respect them. You know, I may not be able to agree with my parents on everything. If I've lost parents, there are certain things that I have to put boundaries up for my family and things like that. But at the end of the day, there's still a respect that is showed. There's still an honor that is showed there.
Yeah. And, amen.
You know, if I have to separate, if my father was evil and I had to separate from him, then that's right to do. But, you know, if they're, you know, wicked,
yep.
You know, then you have to. You have to protect your family.
Yep, yep.
And do what's right when it comes to that. But at the same time, you know, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't, if they needed money or food or care, that I wouldn't care for them.
That's right.
I still have that responsibility.
Yeah, that's true.
To do that. So, I mean, that's what honoring is. That's what reverence and respect is. And God attaches a promise to that. There's a promise of longevity of life to that, that thy days may be long upon the earth, right?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead and keep reading, brother.
Yeah, Luke 18:20 says, this is Christ speaking, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother.
So he continues it in the Gospels. Christ goes back to the beginning, back to the covenant, and he says, listen, this is still valid. You're still to honor your father and your mother. That hasn't changed. Very important.
Yeah. Amen.
Then we have Paul.
Yeah, then we go to Ephesians 6:2.
Yep.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
Right, there's a promise attached to that.
Yep, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. And isn't it interesting that if we honor our parents, and we're thinking of the elderly, so we're thinking of our parents mm-hmm. when they're old, if we honor our elderly parents, it literally extends our life expectancy.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. And that's, you know, God honors that. It's funny how the Lord, you know, God honors you honoring his order. You know, he'll take care of you. And that's very important to understand. This is the command of God. And that means that we care for them. We provide for them. We take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, we help them. You know, we're good to them. So back to this article here. She asked her parents who Parks was and where she could find the court order. But she said they were overwhelmed and humiliated, and they did not know what was going on. They had no idea how or why Parks had targeted them as wards. Belshi was struck by their passive acceptance. It was like they had Stockholm Syndrome or something, she told them.
I can tell you why they were selected, because they had a house and a golf course.
I know.
And they said, we're going to bleed them dry.
Right. And they knew they could get a bunch of money out of them and take everything they had.
Yep. They're not helping the elderly couple in the inner city that don't got nothing.
Nope. Nope, they went after the people that had the money. And I'll tell you another thing. The reason why the parents were so passive is because they were threatened, and then they're drugged. So so wait a minute. Okay, let me paint this picture for you. The Nazis come, kick your door in, say, grab your clothes, you're going to the concentration camp. They take you in, they inoculate you with drugs to calm you down and stick you in a cell somewhere, and you're stuck in the fetal position. Somebody comes to visit you and says, what's wrong with you? Why are you so complacent with your kidnappers and everything else? Well, because they've been drugged, they've been kidnapped, they've been thrown into a place.
Yeah.
This is what happened to them. Are you getting the picture here, folks? Yeah. This is happening in America.
Yeah. For 15 years.
Right.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
That's happening right here.
Yeah.
Sure to make some people mad with this, and hope it does. I hope it wakes some people up.
Man, I wish, but I know this is important, but I just wish that at national football games, that they would just honor and respect the flag.
I know.
You know?
That's so much more important than this.
It's so much more important than this. We really need to – we need a congressional hearing, and we need to allocate dollars to investigate why they aren't doing this.
Yeah, like, why don't these people want to pledge allegiance at a national?
Yeah.
Why don't millionaires want to pledge allegiance?
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that old people are being their lifelong fortunes are being stolen from them, and they're being thrown in a cell somewhere and drugged.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is right about the time all this started, there was a congressional hearing about professional baseball players using steroids.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
McGuire.
And that's so necessary, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
Like,
I mean, that's America's pastime. That's apple pie, man.
I know. We should just worry about that more than we do this.
Yeah.
So Belshi acknowledged that her parents needed a few hours of help each day, but she had never questioned their ability to live alone. They always kept their house really nice and clean, like a museum, she said. Although Rudy's medical records showed that he occasionally had staring spells, all his medical progress notes from 2013 described him as alert and oriented. He did most of the couple's cooking and shopping because Rennie, though lucid, was in so much pain that she rarely left the house.
Mm.
Belshi sometimes worried that her father inadvertently encouraged her mother to be docile. She's a very smart woman, though she sometimes acts like she's not. I have to tell her, that's not cute, Mom. So her mom was like playing games and acting like she was stupid, just having fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the dad, he said sometimes he had staring spells. Hey, guess what? I'm 40 years old and I have staring spells sometimes too.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, it's called daydreaming.
Yeah.
Okay? It's called zoning out once in a while.
Yeah.
Leave the guy alone. He's doing fine. When Belshi called Parks to ask for the court order, Parks told her that she was part of the sandwich generation and that it would be too overwhelming for her to continue to care for her children and her parents at the same time. Parks billed her ward's estates for each hour that she spent on their case.
You see they're building it? Okay, like right now you can't take care of your parents and your kids. So once we get rid of your parents, then we're going to come get your kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
So well, my motto is it takes a village to raise an idiot.
Yeah.
Like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and others. Parks billed her ward's estates for each hour that she spent on their case. The court placed no limits on guardian's fees as long as they appeared reasonable.
Shocker.
Mm-hmm. Later, when Belshi called again to express her anger, Parks changed the Norse $24 for the 8-minute charged the Norse $24 for an 8-minute conversation. I could not understand what the purpose of the call was other than she wanted me to know they had rights. Park wrote in detailed invoice. I terminated the phone call. She was very hostile and angry. See how they write that? That's how people that are psychologically messing with your mind, they get you worked up because they know that they're thieving and robbing you, and that gets you excited, and it gets you passionate and upset.
Yeah.
But they're very hostile and angry.
Yep, and they bill you for it.
Yeah. A month after removing the Norse from their house, Parks petitioned to make the guardianship permanent. She was represented by an attorney who was paid $400 an hour by the Norse estate. A hearing was held at Clark County Family Court. The Clark County Guardianship Commissioner, a lawyer named John Norheim, was presided over nearly all the guardianship cases in the county since 2005. He works under the supervision of a judge, but his orders have the weight of a formal ruling.
Yeah.
Norheim awarded a guardianship to Parks on average nearly once a week. She had up to 100 wards at a time. I love Apple Parks, he said at the one hearing, describing her and two other professional guardians who frequently appeared in his courtroom. A wonderful, good-hearted social worker type. Norheim's court perpetuated a cold, unsentimental view of family relations. The ingredients for a good life seem to have little to do with one's children and siblings. He often dismissed the objections of relatives, telling them that his only concern was the best interest of the wards, which he seemed to view in the social vacuum. When siblings fought over who would be guardian, Norheim typically ordered a neutral professional to assume control, even when this isolated wards from their families.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They fought over who would be the guardian. When siblings fought over the other, Norheim typically ordered a neutral professional to assume control.
Mm.
So I'm going to take it away from the family, and I'm going to give it to the state or
That's
some
crazy
private company. Rudy had assured Belshi that he would protest the guardianship. But like most wards in the country, Rudy and Rennie were not represented by counsel. As Rudy stood before the commissioner, he convinced himself that guardianship offered him and Rennie a lifetime of care without being a burden to anyone they loved. He told Norheim, "The issue really is her longevity, what suits her." Belshi, who sat in the courtroom, said, "I was shaking my head. No, 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 don't do that." Rennie was silent. Norheim ordered that the Norris become permanent wards of the court. "Chances are I'll probably never see you folks again. You'll work everything out," he said, laughing. "I very rarely see people after the initial time in court." The hearing lasted 10 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Kangaroo court?
Yep. Mm. The following month, Eventide Life Transitions, a company that Parks often hired, stole both of the Norse belongings.
Yeah.
So they stole all their stuff, sold it for pennies on the dollar to all their friends.
Took their own money and prosecuted them with their own money.
Yes.
Yeah. Took all the laws that are legal in America, in the land of freedom, and used all their laws against them and used their tax dollars against them to establish the infrastructure and set up all these crony capitalist companies to enslave them.
The general condition of this inventory is good, an appraiser wrote. I bet it is. You stole all their money and everything, all their assets.
Mm.
Two lithographs by Renoir were priced at $3,800. What's that?
Renoir.
Renoir. I don't know what that is. Renoir.
Another French guy.
Oh, okay. Were priced at $3,800 in a glass cocktail table, client states that is a Brancusi design, was $1,250.
Mm.
The Norse also had several pastel drawings by their son, Randy, who died in a motorcycle accident at the age of 32, as well as Kachina dolls, a Bose radio, a Dyson vacuum cleaner, a Peruvian tapestry, a motion step exerciser, a Leroy Neiman sketch of a bar in Dublin, and two dozen pairs of Clark's shoes. According to Parks' calculations, the Norse had roughly $50,000. Parks transferred their savings held at the Bank of America to an account in her name.
Awesome.
Unbelievable. Sick. Rennie repeatedly asked for her son's drawings and for the family's photographs in her on her refrigerator. Rudy pined for his car, a midnight blue 2010 Chrysler, which came to symbolize the life he had lost. He missed the routine interactions that driving had allowed him. Every day at the pharmacy was my buddy, he said. Or everybody at the pharmacy was my buddy, he said. Now he and Rennie felt like exiles. Rudy said, "They kept telling me, oh, you don't have to worry. Your car is fine," and this and that. Mm. A month later, he said, "They finally told me, actually, we sold your car."
Mm.
I said, and I quote, this is what he said, "What in the hell did you sell it for?"
Mm.
End quote. It was bought for less than $8,000, a price that Rudy considered insulting.
Mm.
Rudy lingered in the dining room after eating breakfast each morning, chatting with other residents of Lakeview Terrace. He soon discovered that 10 other wards of April Parks lived there. His next-door neighbor, Adolfo Gonzalez, a short, bald, 71-year-old who had worked as a maitre d' at the MGM Grand Las Vegas, had become Parks' ward at a hearing that lasted a minute and 31 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzalez, who had roughly $350,000 in assets, urged Rudy not to accept the nurse's medications. "If you take the pills, they'll make sure you don't make it to court," he said.
Yep.
Gonzalez had been prescribed the antipsychotic medications Risperdal and
Depakote. They're both anti-seizure medications, and they put you on – they make you brain dead is what they do.
Which he hid in the side of his mouth without swallowing. Smart man. Mm. He wanted to remain vigilant. He often spoke of Salvador Dali painting that had been lost when Parks took over his life.
Mm.
Once she charged him $210 for a visit in which, according to her invoice, he expressed that he feels like a prisoner. It's because he is one.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy was so distressed by his conversations with Gonzalez that he asked to see a psychologist.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
Mm.
I thought maybe he'd give me some sort of objective learning as what I was going through, he said. I wanted to ask basic questions like, I quote, what the hell is going on, end quote. Rudy didn't find the session illuminating, but he felt a little boost to his self-esteem when the psychologist asked that he return for a second appointment. I guess he found me terribly charming, he told me.
No, he was billing you, dude.
No, he was billing you, man. Rudy liked to fantasize about an alternative life as a psychoanalyst, and he tried to befriend the wards who seemed especially hopeless. Loneliness is a physical pain that hurts all over, he wrote in his notebook. He bought a pharmaceutical encyclopedia and advised other wards about medications they'd been prescribed. He also ran for president of the residents, promising that under his leadership, the kitchen would no longer advertise canned food as homemade. He lost. He's not sure if anyone besides Rennie voted for him, but he did win a seat on the residents' council.
Wow.
Go ahead, brother. You pick it up.
He was particularly concerned about a ward of Parks named Marlene Homer, a 70-year-old woman who had been a professor. Now, she was almost hiding behind the pillars, Rudy said. She was so...
I don't know what that word is.
Obsequious. She was like, run me over, run me over. She'd become a ward in 2012 after Park told the court. She has admitted to strange thoughts, depression, and doing things she can't explain. On a certificate submitted to the court, an internist had checked a box indicating that Homer was unable to attend the guardianship court hearing because... blank, but he didn't fill in a reason.
Wicked.
Yep. The Norse could guess which residents were Park's wards by the way they were dressed. Gonzalez wore the same shirt to dinner nearly every day. Forgive me, he told the others at his table. When a friend tried to take him shopping, Parks prevented the excursion because she didn't know the friend. Rennie had also tried to get more clothes. I reminded Ward that... she had plenty of clothing in her closet, Parks wrote. I let her know that they are on a tight budget. The Norse estate was charged $180 for the conversation.
Wow.
Mm.
They charge her $180 and won't let her go buy clothes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Devils.
Mm. Mm. Another resident, Barbara Neely, a 55-year-old with schizophrenia, repeatedly asked Parks to buy her outfits for job interviews. She was applying for a position with the Department of Education. She's probably pretty qualified, actually. After Neely's third week at Lakeview Terrace, Parks' assistant sent Parks a text. Can you see Barbara Neely anytime this week? She wrote. She has questions on the guardianship and how she can get out of it. Parks responded, I can and she can't. Neely had been in the process of selling her house, a $460,000, when Parks became her guardian and took charge of the sale.
Mm. Wow.
The rationale of the guardianship of Norbert Wilkening, who lived on the bottom floor of the facility in the memory care ward for people with dementia, the snake pit, Rudy called it, was also murky. Park's office manager, who advertised himself as qualified dementia care specialist, a credential acquired through a video training session, had given Wilking a mini mental state examination. Yeah, and listen to this whole mental state thing, because this is exactly how they're going to take the guns, and it's going to be by some dude that watched a video that's a qualified dementia care specialist. Oh,
right.
Boy.
They're going to be able to take guns. They're going to be able to take guns away, and mental health is the biggest way they want to try to do this.
Yep. A list of 11
psychotropics that they give people to get them there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. A list of 11 questions and tasks, including naming as many animals as possible in a minute. Wilking had failed. His daughter, Amy, told me, I didn't see anything that was happening to him other than the regular getting older process. Well, when I was informed by all these people that he had all these problems, I was like, well, maybe I'm just in denial. I'm not a professional. She said that Parks was so highly touted by herself, by the social workers, by the judge, by everyone that knew her. Yeah, it's a good old boys network.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all making money off of it.
Yep.
At a hearing when Amy complained to Norheim that Parks didn't have time for her father, he replied, yeah, she's an industry at that point. At this point.
Wow.
As Belshi spoke to more wards and their families, she began to realize that Lakeview Terrace was not the only place where wards were lodged, and that Parks was not the only guardian removing people from their homes for what appeared to be superficial reasons. Hundreds of cases followed the same pattern. It had become routine for guardians in Clark County to petition for temporary guardianship on an ex parte basis. They told the court that they had to intervene immediately because the ward faced a medical emergency that was only vaguely described. He or she was demented or disoriented and at risk of exploitation or abuse, the cloak. You know, that's the way these people, they always use the cloak. The guise in which they're operating is the cloak for their excuse.
Yep.
The guardians attached a brief physician certificate that contained minimal details and often stated that the ward was too incapacitated to attend a court hearing. Deborah Bookout, an attorney at the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada, told me, when a hospital or rehab facility needs to free up a bed or when the patient is not paying his bills, some doctor gets sloppy and they will sign anything.
Wow.
A recent study conducted by Hunter College found that a quarter of guardianship petitions in New York were brought by nursing homes and hospitals, sometimes as a means of collecting on overdue bills.
Well, I've seen that happen before, too. When the estate can't pay any longer for the nursing home, then the state mm-hmm. comes in and then takes everything, vice versa. That's how they do it. And, you know, it's pretty common, actually.
Mm.
They work together with these facilities, and it's crony capitalism, like you said. They're making a lot of money on this. You know,
it's basically an external prison system.
Yes, it is.
It's like it's the our politicians that are private shareholders of these private prison systems that make billions and billions and trillions uh-huh. of dollars. They were like, wow, well, this works so good with like the private prison system. So how can we do this on the outside and just suck up all these old people's money?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's right. That's the way it works.
Yeah. It says here,
it often took several days for relatives to realize what had happened. When they tried to contest the guardianship or become guardians themselves, they were dismissed as unsuitable or disparaged in court records as being neglectful or drug addicts, gamblers, and exploiters.
Mm-hmm.
Belshi was described by Parks as a reported addict who has no contact with the proposed ward, an allegation that Belshi didn't see until it was too late to challenge.
Yeah.
Family who lived out of state were disqualified from serving as guardians because the law prohibited the appointment of anyone who did not live in Nevada.
Yep. Hey, she said it, so it's got to be true. She made the allegation, so obviously it's true. Guilty until proven innocent. That's America.
There you go. I've experienced that myself. I know how that is. Once the court approved the guardianship, the wards were often removed from their homes, which were eventually sold. Terry Williams, whose father's estate was taken over by strangers, even though he'd named her the executor of his will, has spent years combing through guardianship, probate, and real estate records in Clark County. I kept researching because I was so fascinated that these people could literally take over the lives and assets of people under color of law in less than 10 minutes, and nobody was asking questions, she told me. These people spent their lives accumulating wealth, and in a blink of an eye, it was someone else's.
Yeah.
Williams has reviewed hundreds of cases involving Jared Schaefer, who is considered the godfather of guardians in Nevada. In the records room of the courthouse, he was afraid to say Schaefer's name out loud. In the course of his 35-year career, Schaefer has assumed control of more than 3,000 wards and estates and trained a generation of guardians. In 1979, he became the county's public administrator, handling the estates of people who had no relatives in Nevada, as well as the public guardian, serving wards when no family or private guardians were available. In 2003, he left government and founded his own private guardianship and fiduciary business. He transferred the number of his government-issued phone to himself.
Crony capitalism.
There you go. That's the money.
Yeah, there it is.
Williams took records from Schaefer and other guardians' cases to the Las Vegas Police Department several times. She tried to explain. She said that this is a racketeering operation that is fee-based.
Yeah.
There's no brown paper bag handed off in the alley. The payoff is the right to bill the estate. The department repeatedly told her that it was a civil issue and refused to take a report. In 2006, she submitted a typed statement listing 23 statutes that she thought had been violated, but an officer wrote in the top right-hand corner, not a police matter. Adam Woodrum, an estate lawyer in Las Vegas, told me that he's worked with several wards and their families who have brought their complaints to the police. They can't even get their foot in the door, he said. Acting as her own attorney, Williams filed a racketeering suit in federal court against Schaefer and the lawyers who represented him. At a hearing before the United States District Court of Central California in 2009, she told the judge they are trumping up ways and means to deem people incompetent and take their assets.
Yeah.
The case was dismissed. The scheme is ingenious, she told me. How do you come up with a crime that literally none of the victims can articulate without sounding like they're nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The same insane allegations keep surfacing from people who don't know each other.
You know what's funny is, you know, when I talk to people about the stock market and about the MyRA and all that, they've already telegraphed that they're going to seize your invested assets. And when you say that, oh, they could never do that. They're doing it here.
Yep.
They're doing it here. They have the infrastructure. Everything's in place to do it. They are doing it.
Yep.
And I mean, how is it so much of a further step to just think that they'll take your IRA account?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to do it. In 2002, in a petition to Clark County District Court, 57-year-old man complained that his mother had lost her constitutional rights because her kitchen was understocked and a few bills hadn't been paid. The house they shared was then placed on the market. The son wrote, if the only showing necessary to sell the home right out from under someone is that their estate would benefit, then no house in Clark County is safe, nor any homeowner. Under the guise of benevolent paternalism, guardians seem to be creating a kind of capitalist dystopia.
Mm-hmm.
People's quality of life is being destroyed in order to maximize their capital.
Orwell.
When Kinsetta Mormon, a wealthy woman who owned a monastery school, became Schaefer's ward because she had aphasia, Schaefer told the school mid-year, even through those students were enrolled, at a hearing after the sale, Mormon's daughter, Victoria Couture, constantly spoke out of turn. The judge, Robert Luck, ordered that she be handcuffed and placed in a holding cell while the hearing continued.
Hmm.
2 hours later, when Clotier was allowed to return for the conclusion, the judge told her that she had 30 days in which to vacate her mother's house. If she didn't leave, she'd be evicted and her belongings would be taken to Goodwill. The opinions of the wards were also disregarded. In 2012, Guadalupe Alvera, a 90-year-old veteran in the Second World War, repeatedly asked that his daughter and not Schaefer be appointed his guardian. The ward is not to go to court, Schaefer instructed his assistants. When Alvera was finally permitted to attend a hearing, nearly a year after becoming a ward, he expressed his desire to live with his daughter in California rather than under Schaefer's care. Why is everybody against that, he asked Norheim. I don't need that man. Although Nevada's guardianship law requires that courts favor relatives over professionals, Norheim continued the guardianship, saying the priority ship sailed.
Mm.
Yeah, you devil. You wicked, conniving devil. When Alvera's daughter eventually defied the court's order and took her father to live at her seaside home in Northern California, Norheim's supervisor, Judge Charles Hoskins, issued a warrant for her immediate arrest and incarceration without bail. The warrant was for contempt of court, but Norheim said at least five times from the bench that she had kidnapped Alvera. At a hearing, Norheim acknowledged that he wasn't able to send an officer across state lines to arrest the daughter. Schaefer said, maybe I can.
Wow.
Schaefer held so much sway in the courtroom that in 2013, an attorney complained that the bank account of a ward named Christina Berger had no money left and no records to explain where it went. Schaefer told Norheim, close the courtroom. Norheim immediately complied. A dozen people in the attendance were forced to leave. One of Schaefer's former bookkeepers, Lisa Clifton, who was hired in 2012, told me that Schaefer used to brag about his political connections, saying, "I wrote the laws."
Mm-hmm.
In 1995, he persuaded the Nevada Senate Committee on Government Affairs to write a bill that allowed the county to receive interest on money that the public guardian invested.
Ugh.
Mm. This is what I want you to put in the statute, and I will tell you that you will get a rousing hand from a couple of judges who practice our probate, he said. At another hearing, he asked the committee to write an amendment permitting public guardians to take control of people's property in 5 days without a court order. This bill is not Big Brother, if you trust the person who's doing the job, he said.
1995.
This is not Big Brother. Yeah, and the Patriot Act's about patriotism.
Yeah, exactly.
Idiots. After a senator expressed concern that the law allowed intervention into somebody's life without establishing some sort of reason why you were doing it, the committee declined to recommend it.
Hmm.
Clifton observed that Schaefer almost always took a cynical view of family members. They were never motivated by love or duty, only by avarice. They just want the money. So what? It should be
the cloak.
It should be the states.
Yeah. Yeah, who wanted the money? He did.
Yeah,
and what did he accuse them of, wanting the money?
Yeah, I don't remember. Last time I checked, I don't bill my parents $180 for talking to them.
Yeah, to tell them that they can't spend money.
Tell them they can't buy clothes.
Oh.
Bunch of lying devils. And I'm thinking to myself, well, when family members die, they pass it down to their children. Isn't that just the normal progression of things? After a few months on the job, Clifton was asked to work as a guardian substituting for an absent employee, though she had never been trained. Her first assignment was to supervise a visit of a man named Alvin Passer, who was dying in the memory care unit of a nursing home. His partner of 8 years, Olive Manoli, was permitted a brief visit to say goodbye. Her visits had been restricted by Schaefer. His lawyer told the court that Passer became agitated and sexually aggressive in her presence, and she hadn't seen Passer in months. In a futile attempt to persuade the court to allow her to be with him, Manoli had submitted a collection of love letters as well as notes from 10 people describing her desire to care for Passer for the rest of his life. "I was absolutely appalled," Clifton said. "She was a very sweet lady. And I said, go in there and spend as much time with him as you want." Tears were rolling down her cheeks.
Mm.
That's wicked, man.
Mm, terrible.
The family seemed to have suffered a form of court-sanctioned gaslighting. Passer's daughter, Joyce, a psychiatric nurse who specializes in geriatrics, had been abruptly removed as her father's co-guardian because she appeared unwilling, or more likely, unable to conduct herself rationally in the ward's best interests.
Mm.
See how they just
mm-hmm.
slander them?
Yeah.
Mm. She and Manoli had begged Norheim not to appoint Schaefer as guardian. "Sir, he's abusive," their lawyer said in court.
It's interesting how, you know, somebody, how they set up, you know, isn't it just the normal progression of things for family members to pass down their posterity to their children? Well, it is in a free society, but when the state is God,
mm-hmm.
you live in a communist regime, the state obviously deserves the assets.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
"He's as good as we got, and I trust him completely," Norheim responded. "I bet you do, you devil."
Mm.
Joyce Passer was so confused by the situation that she said, "I thought I was crazy."
Yep.
Then she received a call from a blocked number. It was Terry Williams, who did not reveal her identity. She had put together a list of half a dozen family members who she felt were ready to receive some kind of verbal support. She told Passer, "Look, you are not nuts. This is real. Everything you are thinking is true, and this has been going on for years."
Mm.
All right, brother, you pick it up right here.
During Rennie North's first year at Lakeview Terrace, she gained 60 pounds. Parks had switched to North's insurance for reasons she never explained, and Rennie began seeing new doctors who prescribed Valium, Prozac, the sedative temazepam, prescribed oxycodone, and Valium.
Wow.
When he sat down to read, the sentences floated past his eyes and appeared in duplicate. "Ward seemed very tired and his eyes were glassy," Parks wrote in an invoice.
You drugged him. What do you think?
Yep. Belle, she found it increasingly hard to communicate with her parents, who napped for much of the day. They were being over-medicated to the point where they weren't really there, she said. The Norse grandsons who used to see them every week rarely visited. It was degrading for them to see us so degraded, Rudy said. Parks noticed that Rennie was acting helpless and urged her to try harder to be more motivated and not be so dependent on others. Rudy and Rennie began going to Sunday church services at the facility, even though they were Jewish. Rudy was heartened by what he heard in the pastor's message. Don't give up. God will get you out of here, he began telling people. We are living the life of Job. Mm-hmm. At the end of 2014, Lakeview Terrace hired a new director, Julie Lebo, who resisted Park's orders that medical information about wards be kept from their families. Lebo told me the families were devastated that they couldn't know if the residents were in surgery or hearing or hear anything about their health. They didn't understand why they had been taken out of the picture. They'd ask, can you just tell me if she's alive? Lebo tried to comply with the rules because she didn't want to violate medical privacy laws as guardian. Mm-hmm. Park was entitled to choose what was disclosed. Once, though, Lebo took pity on the sister of an 80-year-old ward named Dorothy Smith, who was mourning a dog that Parks had given away, and told her that Smith was stable. Lebo said that Parks, who was by then the secretary of the Nevada Guardianship Association,
wow,
called her immediately. She threatened my license and said she could have me arrested, Lebo told me.
Wow.
The Nevada Guardianship Association, one of these great private associations by all these private corporations. I mean, mm-hmm. with nothing but the best of guardianships in mind. Oh, boy. Oh, your local Rotary Club. Okay. After Lebo arrived, Parks began removing wards from Lakeview Terrace with less than a day's notice. A woman named Linda Phillips, who had dementia, was told that she was going to a beauty salon. She never returned. Marlene Homer, the ward whose ailments were depression and strange thoughts, was taken away in a van, screaming. Lebo had asked the state ombudsman to come to the facility and stop the removals, but nothing could be done. We stood there completely helpless, Lebo said. We had no idea where they were going. Lebo said that other wards asked her if they would be next. Lebo alerted the compliance officer for the Clark County Family Court that Parks was removing residents without any concern for them and their choice to stay here. She also reported her complaints to the police, the Department of Health Services, the Bureau of Health Care, the Nevada Adult Protective Services. She said each agency told her it didn't have the authority or the jurisdiction to intervene. The local police department didn't have the jurisdiction. Really?
Wow, is that scary?
That is super scary. They got the jurisdiction to give you a seatbelt ticket, though.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, boy, inside your privately owned vehicle. Okay. At the beginning of 2015, Parks told the Norse that they would be leaving Lakeview Terrace. Finances are low, and the move is out of our control, Parks wrote. It was all arranged so quickly that Rudy said, we didn't have time to say goodbye to people we've been eating with for 17 months. Parks arranged for caring transitions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to create a billable event. Parks arranged for caring transitions to move them to Wentworth, a less expensive assisted living facility. Yeah, probably like a dog kennel.
Like a prison.
Yeah, Wentworth. It does sound like a prison. Oh, man. Lebo said that the night before the move, Rudy began shouting about the Holocaust, that this was like being in Nazi Germany.
Well, he was right.
Lebo didn't think the reference was entirely misguided. He reverted to a point where he had no rights as a human being, she said. He was no longer the caregiver, the man, the husband. Wow.
Hmm.
All of the things that gave his life meaning. Lebo
look at
also.
That.
Yep.
Stop there for a second. Look
yep.
what he said. The
yep.
caregiver, the husband, the man.
Yep.
These
Amen.
Millennials need to wake up. This is an
That's
old
right.
man that understands what a man does for his wife.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's not even a saved man.
Nope. Yeah. Mm. Lebo also didn't understand why Belshi had been marginalized. She seemed like she had a great relationship with her parents, she said. Belshi showed up at 9 a.m. to help her parents with the move, but when she arrived, Park's assistant, Heidi Kramer, another woman, dude.
I know.
I'm sorry, but all these social workers, they're a bunch of
manipulating
sodomite women. Yeah, and sodomite women. Most of them are sodomite women. It's the M.O. Told her that her parents had already left. Yeah, and listen, if you work in the social services industry, I'm sorry, but you're participating. There's no way, and I know we need Christians everywhere in our culture and in our community, but there is no way that you can perform social services with a good conscience and do it according to scripture. It is an absolute undeniable impossibility.
Yep.
And you are a tool of Satan and you're getting paid to do it. And that's the truth. And that's the truth. And for filthy lucre's sake, you're destroying people's lives. And I know you're just doing what your manager is forcing you to do, but you're a useful tool and a useful idiot of the devil to destroy people.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's true.
Mm.
That is truth.
Belshi emotionally crashed, as Lebo put it. She yelled that her parents didn't even wake up until 9 or later. What was the rush? In an invoice, man.
Yeah.
Kramer wrote that Belshi began to yell and scream. Her behavior was out of control. She was taking pictures and yelling, April Parks is a thief. Kramer called the police. Lebo remembers that an officer looked at Julie Belshi and told her she had no rights, and she didn't. Oh, yeah, now the police have jurisdiction, right?
Right.
To do something. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know what? And I know there's good Christian police officers, and I'm not banging on police, but you know, another reason why this stuff happens is because these are members of law enforcement facilitate it.
Yeah, good people do nothing.
Yep, good people do nothing, and they facilitate these bogus warrants, and they arrest the innocent people, and they stand there like muzzled muscle heads.
Yep.
And they do nothing. And they are just
handed her a citation for trespassing and said that if she returned to the facility, she'd be arrested.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not a law enforcement officer. That is a goon.
Yeah, it is.
That's a goon.
And we don't mean Dugoon. We mean a goon.
No, a goon, not Dugoon. Oh, that is terrible.
Yeah, it is. Parks wrote that the Norris were very happy with the new room and thanked us several times. But Rudy remembers feeling as if he had ended up in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Their room was smaller than the one at Lakeview Terrace, and the residents at the Wentworth seemed older and sicker. Isn't there a mm-hmm. prison called Leavenworth or something like that?
Leavenworth. Notorious prison.
Leavenworth. That's what this reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
There were people sitting in their chairs half asleep, Rudy said. Their tongues hung out.
Mm.
Rennie spent nearly all her time in her wheelchair in bed. Her eyes half closed. Her face had become bloated. One night she was so agitated the nurses gave her Haldol, a drug commonly used to treat schizophrenia.
Mm.
When Rudy asked her questions, Rennie said, "What?" in a soft, remote voice. Mm. Shortly after her parents moved, Belshi called an editor of the Vegas Voice, a newspaper distributed to all the mailboxes in senior communities in Las Vegas. In recent months, the paper had published three columns warning the readers about the Clark County Guardian's writing. So they warned them. Three columns warning readers about the Clark County Guardian's writing that they had been lining their pockets at the expense of an unwitting seniors for a very long time.
Mm.
At Belshi's urging, the paper's political editor, Ronna Goodman, visited the Norse and published an article in The Voice describing Rudy as the most articulate, soft-spoken person I have met in a very long time. She called Clark's County guardianship system a legal elder abuse racket and urged readers to sign a petition demanding that the Nevada legislature reform the laws before more than 3,000 people signed.
Mm.
2 months later, the Review Journal ran an investigation titled Clark County Private Guardians May Protect or Just Steal and Abuse, which describes complaints against Schaefer going back to the early 80s, when two of his employees were arrested for stealing from the estates of dead people.
Mm.
In May of 2015, a month after the article appeared, when the Norris went to court to discuss their finances, local journalists were in the courtroom and Norheim seemed chastened. I have grave concerns about this case, he said. He noted that Parks had sold the Norris belongings without proper approval from his court.
Mm.
Parks has been doing this routinely for years, and according to her, the court had always accepted her accounting and her fees. Her lawyer, Alien Cohen, said, everything was done for the ward's benefit to support the wards. Norheim announced that he was suspending Parks as the Norse guardian the first time she had been removed from a case for misconduct. This is important. Rudy, who was wearing a double-breasted suit, said in court, this is hope. I am coming here and I have hope. He quoted the Bible, Thomas Jefferson, Euripides, until Belshi finally touched his elbow and said, just sit down, Dad. When Rudy apologized for being overzealous, Norheim told him, this is your life. This is your liberty. You have every right to be here. You have every right to be involved in this project. In this project. It's his life, not a project, you sicko.
Mm.
All whitewashing and acting like...
Yeah, this is your freedom.
Yeah.
You have the right to say all this after we stole everything from you and you're just a shell of an opiated, doped up, old, poor... Tossed and, oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. After the hearing, Parks texted her husband, I am finished. Good. Mm-hmm. Last March, Parks and her lawyer, along with her office manager and her husband, were indicted for perjury and theft, among other charges. The indictment was narrowly focused on their double billings and their sloppy accounting, but in detailed summary of the investigation, Jacqueline O'Malley, who led the probe for the Nevada Attorney General's office, made passing references to the collusion of hospital social workers and medical staff who profited from their connection to Parks. At Parks' grand jury trial, her assistant testified that she and Parks went to the hospitals and attorney's offices for the purpose of building relationships to generate more client leads.
Mm-hmm.
Parks secured a contract with six medical facilities whose staff agreed to refer patients to her, an arrangement that benefited the facilities since Parks controlled the decisions of a large pool of their potential consumers. Parks often gave doctors blank certificates and told them exactly what to write in order for their patients to become her wards.
Mm.
Parks and other private guardians appeared to gravitate toward patients who had considerable assets. O'Malley described a 2010 case in which Parks, after receiving a tip from a social worker, began cold calling rehabilitation centers searching for a 79-year-old woman, Patricia Smoke, who had nearly $700,000 and no children.
Mm.
Parks finally found her, but Smoke's physician wouldn't sign a certificate of incapacity. The doctor's not playing ball, Parks wrote to her lawyer. She quickly found a different doctor to sign that certificate, and Norheim approved the guardianship. Both Parks and Norheim declined to speak with me.
Mm.
Wow. That's wicked, man.
Mm.
Preying on the old people.
Yep.
What does it say? There is a generation, right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
Ugh.
Steve Miller, a former member of the Las Vegas City Council, said he assumed that Schaefer would be the next indictment after Parks, who is scheduled to go to trial next spring. All of the disreputable guardians were taking cues from the Schaefer example, he said. But as the months passed, I started to think that this has run its course locally. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Only federal intervention is going to give us peace of mind. Oh, yeah. We're the federal government. We're here to help. Yeah, we'll fix everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Federal intervention. Why? So the feds can get their cut?
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah. Richard Black, who, after his father-in-law was placed into guardianship, became the director of a grassroots national organization, Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship, said that he considered the Parks indictment irrefutably shallow. It sent a strong message of we're not going to go after the real leaders of this, only the easy people, the ones who are arrogant and stupid enough to get caught. Mm-hmm. He works with victims in dozens of what he calls hot spots, places where guardianship abuse is prevalent. often because they attract retirees, Palm Beach, Sarasota, Naples, Albuquerque, San Antonio. He said that the problems in Clark County are not unusual. The only thing that is unique is that Clark County is one of the few jurisdictions that doesn't seal its records so we can see what's going on.
Mm.
Wow. Everywhere else they seal the records so you can't see what's going on. Wow. Approximately 10% of people older than 65 are thought to be victims of elder abuse, a construct that is yet to enter public consciousness as child abuse has, but such cases are seldom prosecuted. People who are frail or dying don't make good witnesses, a fact that Schaefer once emphasized at a 1990 U.S. congressional hearing on crimes against the elderly, in which he appeared as an expert at preventing exploitation. Seniors didn't like to testify, he said, adding that they were either incapable or mesmerized by the person ripping them off. He said, the exploitation of seniors is becoming a real cottage industry right now. This is a good business. Mm. Wow. Seniors are unable to fend for themselves. Mm. In the past 2 years, Nevada has worked to reform its guardianship system through a commission appointed by the Nevada Supreme Court to study failures and oversights. In 2018, the Nevada legislature will enact a new law that entitles all wards to be represented by lawyers in court. But the state seems reluctant to reckon with the root of the problem, as well as with its legacy, a generation of ill and elderly people who were deprived of their autonomy and also of their families in the final years of their lives. Last spring, a man bought a storage unit in Henderson, Nevada, and discovered 27 urns.
Oh.
The remains of Clark County wards who had never been buried.
Wow.
In the wake of Part's indictment, no judges have lost their jobs. Norheim was transferred from guardianship court to dependency court. Oh, great. Where he now oversees cases involving abuse and neglected children. Oh, now he's going to snatch your kids.
Now he's stealing kids.
Yeah.
Now he's stealing kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's lucrative business, too.
Yeah, it is.
Child trafficking. Yeah. Mm. Schaefer is still listed in the Clark County court system as a trustee and as an administrator of several open cases. He did not respond to multiple emails and messages left with his bookkeeper, who answered his office phone but would not say whether he was still in practice. He did appear at one of the public meetings for the commission appointed to analyze flaws in the guardianship system. Yeah, the fox guarding the hen house.
Yep.
What started all of this was me, he said. Then he criticized local media coverage of the issue and said that a television reporter whom he talked to briefly didn't know the facts. The system works, Schaefer went on. It's not the guardians you have to be aware of. It's more family members. He wore a blue polo shirt untucked and his head was shaved. He looked aged, his arms dotted with sunspots, but he spoke confidently and casually. The only person you folks should be thinking about when you change things is the ward. It's their money. It's their life. It's their time. The family members don't count.
Wow. See how they hate the family? You see how they absolutely hate that, and they want the state to come in and be God and usurp the authority of that family? They are wicked as hell, man.
Yep. Mm. That is terrible. Belshi has resigned to the fact that she will be supporting her parents for the rest of their lives. Parks spent all of the North's money on fees. The hourly wages for her assistants, her lawyers, and the various contractors she hired, as well as on their monthly bills, which doubled under her guardianship. Belshi guesses that Parks, or whichever doctor or social worker referred her to the Norris, had assumed that her parents were wealthier than they actually were. Rudy often talked vaguely about deals he had once made in China. He exaggerates, so he won't feel emasculated, Belshi said. He wasn't such a big businessman, but he was a great dad.
Hmm. The Norris now live in what used to be Belshi's home office. It has a window under the living room, which Belshi had covered with a tarp. Although the room is tiny, the Norse can fit most of their remaining belongings in it. A small lamp with teardrop crystals, a deflated love seat, and two paintings by their son. Belshi rescued the artwork in 2013 after Caring Transitions placed the Norse belongings in trash bags at the edge of their driveway. My brother's paintings were folded and smelled, she said. The Norse bed takes up most of the room and operates as a little their little planet. They rarely stray far from it. They lie in bed playing cards or sit against the headboard reading or watching TV. Rudy's notebooks are increasingly focused on mortality. Death may be pleasurable and money. Money monsters do well in this society, he wrote. All great fortunes begin with crime. He creates lists of all the possessions he has lost, some of which he may be imagining. Over time, Rennie's wardrobe has become increasingly elaborate and refined, as have their sets of china. He alternates between feeling that his belongings are nothing, a distraction from the pursuit of meaning, and everything. It's an erasure, he said. They erase you from the face of the earth. He told me a few times that he was a distant cousin of Leon Trotsky, intellect of the revolution, as he called him, and I wondered whether his newfound pride was connected to his conflicted feelings about the value of material objects. A few months after the Norths were freed, Rudy talked on the phone with Adolfo Gonzalez, his neighbor from Lakeview Terrace, who, after a doctor found him competent, had also been discharged. He now lived in a house near the airport and had been reunited with several of his pets. The two men congratulated each other. We survived, Rudy said. We never thought we'd see each other on the other side. Three other wards from Lakeview Terrace had died. Rennie has lost nearly all the weight she gained at Lakeview Terrace, mostly because Belshi and her husband won't let her lounge in her wheelchair or eat starchy foods. Now she uses a walker, which she makes self-deprecating jokes about. This is fun. I can teach you, she told me. In July, Rennie slipped in the bathroom and spent a night in the hospital. Belshi didn't want anyone to know about her mother's fall because she said this is the kind of thing that gets you into guardianship, she told me. I feel like these people are just waiting in the bushes.
They are.
Yeah, they are. 2 days after the fall, Rennie was feeling better. She had 13 stitches, but she was still agitated by a dream she had in the hospital. She wasn't even sure if she'd have been asleep. She remembers talking and her eyes were open. You were loop-de-doopy, Scott Belshi, Julie's husband, told her. They were sitting on the couch in their living room. It was real, Rennie said. You dreamed it, Scott told her. Maybe I was hallucinating, she said. I don't know. I was scared. She said the strangers were making decisions about her fate. She felt as if she were frozen. She couldn't influence what was happening. I didn't know what to do, she told Scott. I think I yelled for help. Help me. The worst part, she said, was that she couldn't find her family. Honest to God, I thought you guys left me all alone. You know, I'll tell you, it's just, it's really sad. Because when I look at it, you know, this is America today, and this is a downright shame, you know, that this is going on today in this country.
They pick this scapegoat, right, and they supposedly prosecute her, and who even knows, you know, she got a slap on the wrist. None of these companies that facilitate any of this.
The corporations.
Yep, the assisted living facilities, these transition companies, and all this caring nonsense, they all still are racketeering and profiteering. Off of the elderly. They're all still in place. They're all still doing. And anybody that thinks this has stopped is brain dead.
That's right. It hasn't stopped. It's still going on, and we're warning you. So what do I suggest you do? Well, I'm not an attorney, but I suggest you get one. If you have older parents, I suggest you get a family attorney that can write, you know, the living will, and that you, if you have older parents and they have an estate, that you're very careful that you – you know, get with your parents and get with the attorneys and, you know, have the ability to be able to take over that estate when the time comes so you can make sure that your parents aren't robbed to death and that your children, your grandchildren's money aren't stolen away from the state like this and that your parents can't be taken away and hauled off and shoved into some concentration camp like happened to the Norths here. And, you know, you have a duty before God to honor your father and your mother. You have a duty before God to take care of your family. If you have an aunt or an uncle or somebody like that, you know, and you can take care of them, if you're able to take care of them, you have a responsibility to do so.
Amen.
And, you know, if it's possible, for you to do that, then you need to. And you need to make sure that they're well taken care of, that you're, you know. So anyway, listen, think about those things. They're very important. The Bible's very clear about that stuff. So, you know, I want you to be careful. This is a warning. It's a good warning for you.
Yeah,
to look into some things. Get in with an attorney. Don't let your parents, you know, your parents are older. Don't assume that everything's all taken care of. Don't assume that they're going to be fine. Don't assume that the state won't do this. Don't assume that you have it all figured out. Make sure you know. Have a will. Have a living will. Make sure that you have the paperwork filled out right. Make sure you have that things are entrusted to you, that somebody's in charge of this stuff in case something happens to mom and dad. Make sure all their papers and things are in a row. Believe me, I've dealt with family relatives with things, and if they're not in order, it causes mass confusion. Make sure your parents' stuff is in order. Make sure they understand the importance of that. And do your God-given responsibilities.
Amen.
Make sense, brother?
Yeah, amen, brother.
You know, and you know what? If you're not saved and you listen to this and you have parents like this, listen to me. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Your sins must be forgiven you. And if you're one of these older people this has happened to, let me tell you something. You're a sinner before God, and you need to be saved. If you think this is bad, hell is a lot worse.
That's right.
The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died and was buried and rose again from the dead. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you'll be saved. The Bible says, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. He will forgive your sins, and he will cleanse you of your unrighteousness, and he will make you a new person, and he'll save your soul and give you a home in heaven. You'll have an inheritance greater than anything on this earth.
Amen.
Because you'll have an inheritance in heaven. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Brother Jim, I think that's good for today.
Amen, brother.
All right.
Great show.
Amen. It was good. It's a good warning for people out there. We just want you to be aware of these things. It's very important. So for Brother Jim, it's Pastor Jason Cooley, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.